This is the picture that I showed the kids. See if you can figure out which one I am. I am front and center. Had a little more hair back then. And my younger brother Chris is in my mom's arms. You know, I thought about this picture quite a bit yesterday. I had a funeral service, not for somebody that was connected to this church in any way, but there was a woman who was 96 years old, and she had passed away. Her name was Hazel, and she also had five sons, just like my mom. And all of these men were now in their 50s and 60s. I think the baby brother was like 55 or something like that. So there was a little age spread between them, but I couldn't help but think of this picture because as they were sharing stories about her and growing up together and going on family trips together, they got kind of misty-eyed, recalling that today is going to be, you know, for them, it was Mother's Day, and that she wouldn't be around. It just seemed like it was an awful lot for them to have to process in the wake of a lot of people celebrating and remembering all of these really positive experiences with their moms on Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day, you know, and as we're aware, it's a day that means something different to every single person in the pews. For one person, it might be a really great day. You know, it might be a really great day. I recall how my mom was just with my family, my little family unit with my two kids and my wife. This past week, she had dropped everything to drive 5 hours to be with us because we had two sick kids at home. And our kids have had a sickness for about 2 weeks now, and they're just starting to, you know, get over it 100%. But she was willing to drop everything to drive from Kellogg, Minnesota to Milwaukee and watch them just to hold sick kids for me for like a week. But not everybody's mom would do that, and not everybody has that kind of relationship with a mother or ever did. So for one person, this might be a really great day where they celebrate and uplift mom. And for someone else, it might be the exact opposite. It might be. One of my colleagues who doesn't have kids, she described Mother's Day one time as a punch to the gut. And I recall feeling like this when Sonia and I had attended a church in Atlanta. There were flowers, roses that were handed out to all the moms during the service. And there were some of the ladies there that, you know, they, for whatever reason in their lives, they never had children of their own for various reasons or whatever. And they were excluded. And when we were trying to get pregnant at the time, this is before our daughter was born, and it wasn't working, it kind of felt like that day was anything but a celebration for my family. So today is difficult to navigate through as a pastor because every one of us has a different experience with, you know, the person that brought us into this world, the person who reared us, the person that gave us life. There are some of us who may have wanted children but could not have them. There are some of us that never wanted to have children. There are some of us that chose not to raise children or to have different kind of families. As we heard, pets were described as part of that family. We have fur babies at home as well. I know some of you do too. In all fairness, children can kind of be like animals sometimes, every once in a while. And some of us have had different experiences of motherhood than you see depicted in Hallmark cards or on the Hallmark Channel. I'm not trying to get down on the Hallmark Channel or something like that, but there are foster moms, there are adopted moms, there are surrogate moms and stepmoms and so on. Maybe we had a challenging relationship with our mother or no relationship with our mother, or our mother didn't want to have a relationship with us. Or maybe we couldn't have a relationship with our mother. Maybe we never even knew who they were. Maybe today is a difficult reminder of loss. The loss of a child or a parent or a spouse or a partner or a grandmother or someone that you always looked up to as a mother. Okay, because there are those people in our lives as well. So I think it's important to be welcoming and understanding and inclusive on this day. And while I might not be a mom, I recognize that these things present unique challenges for everybody in the pews here, no matter who you are here. And I also realize, though, that we all were brought into this world by a mother. And for all of us, there have been people that have been mothering to us in our lives. If not our own mothers, then maybe there was someone that stepped in or stepped up to be a mother figure, or someone that we see as a mother, or someone that filled that role for us, or has filled that role. People who have taken us under their wing, like the scripture says with Jesus, gathering Jerusalem under his wing like a mother hen. People that have helped us shape our definition of what a family is, from beyond our family of origin, our blood, or biological family, to something deeper, something beyond that. Maybe something even spiritual, a spiritual mother. When it comes down to it, today isn't just about honoring moms, the mothers, grandmas. I think in some ways it's about celebrating family and all the dynamic shapes and sizes that families come in. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, really. Because I think in our gospel lesson from John, while Jesus draws his last breaths from the cross, in his final statement, his final request, it's a really, really super duper important one. To be family to one another, to love one another as family, to break down the boundaries of what a family is, and to redefine the human family into a modern family, into a new family, so to speak. So I want to share with you a story about that. And I've shared this story before. So back in 2011, Sonia and I had moved to Atlanta. And we had a really rough start when we moved to Atlanta, when I went there for school. Okay? We had moved from Minnesota. We had moved from St. Paul. We were newlyweds. We had been married maybe 6 months at that point. And when we got to our apartment, after, you know, over 24 hours of driving, we were ready to settle on in. What do you think happened? We got there before all of our stuff got there. We had movers moving our stuff. So we ended up having to go out to Target and get an air mattress so we had somewhere to sleep. We sat on the floor. We didn't have any utensils. We had to go get a microwave. We didn't have anything to cook with. Not only this, not only did we not have our stuff, the comforts from home, we had to leave everyone and everything that we knew and were familiar with behind. Sonia took a new job. I went to a school where I didn't really feel like I was fitting in right away. And Sonia and her mom were like best friends, and she had to leave that familiarity behind. And I was really close with my parents, and we had to leave them behind too. Couldn't just bring them with to Atlanta. Fast forward a couple years. We were pregnant with Charlotte. And Charlotte was born on September 11th of 2013. Sonia was working. I was a student, and we were barely scraping by financially with a new baby. Our first baby, you know, and things were stressful. We were alone. We didn't have any grandparents nearby to help out. I know some of you that have the blessing of having the opportunity to spend time with your grandkids to babysit. And I know that that your children are very thankful for that as well. Absolutely. Things were stressful. We didn't have anybody to turn to. We were alone. Really, truly. With this new little fragile life. And it was really, really challenging. But there was this woman named Kathy that we had met through church. She worked with me at my intern site. We became friends. She was about my mom's age at the time. And we were about her children's age. And Kathy became something of a mother to me and Sonia. In fact, she spoke at my ordination, if you had the opportunity to attend that. And she became like a grandma to Charlotte when our own parents were not able to be right there. She helped check in on Sonia when I was away doing military stuff my first summer. I was away for almost 3 months from her. And she even threw a baby shower with some of the ladies from church after Charlotte had been born. Well, after Charlotte was born, we faced a dilemma. And I say this because when I was in school, I could stand in the back of the class and have her, and if she was fussy or needed her diaper changed, I could just step out. But then I was accepted into an internship site at a hospital. And I couldn't bring a baby to a hospital. and I couldn't afford childcare. So Kathy stepped in so that I could finish school. She offered to wash Charlotte, you know, watch her sometimes even 3 days a week, from early in the morning when I started class until about four. She cared for her when she was sick. She fed her. She took her to parks and spent a lot of time with her. And she did all of this without charging us anything. She is a grandmother of her own now. And she's a friend, a really wonderful, wonderful person. I know she loves our daughter, even though she hasn't seen her since she was 1.5. And in a way, Kathy was like a mom to us, even though we had our parents and we love our parents. But she became a close and wonderful family member too. And she wasn't related to us by blood at all. You know? Not even close. In a sense, she's always going to be a mom to me, a mother figure, and a grandma figure for our baby girl. You know, I can't help but think of her when I think of our gospel lesson today from John. And maybe there's someone whom this lesson will remind you of in your own life. Because in John's gospel from the cross, he redefines what family is. We hear that he's surrounded by his blood family as he's dying on the cross. Jesus has his relatives. He has his mother. He has his mother's sister and so on. They're all right there. And it's from the cross that he says to his blood mother, as he points to one of his disciples, this unnamed disciple who he loves, this disciple that could be any one of us, he says, "Behold your son. Behold your son." And to that disciple, he says, "Behold your mother." And he points to Mary. "Behold your mother." As I shared with the children, these were some of his last words. The only other words he says are, "I am thirsty, and it is finished." So that tells us it's important. And in a sense, by doing this, that's his last command. His last command. And in these final words, he redefines what the Christian family looks like. Because it isn't always blood family. And it doesn't always look like who we grew up with. It doesn't always look like the people we're related to. I think it looks a whole lot like the people sitting in the pews. We are sitting next to people that we're not related to. I mean, if you came here with your family, of course you're related to them. But in this thing that we call church, in this congregation, as we are gathered, it's this experiment of all of us from different walks of life and faith, in different ethnic backgrounds. You know, I'm sure if we went to Ancestry.com, we can trace us from all over the globe. All over the globe. But the thing is, Jesus says in his dying words, before he commends his spirit to God, that this is what a family looks like. You taking this person in that isn't anything like you under your wing. As a mother, as a son. And I wonder if that means for us as a church what we can strive to be like in being hospitable for the other and being hospitable for one another. Maybe that means that we go out of our way to invite somebody that you don't know very well here to lunch, to get to know them a little bit, to send someone a letter, to reach out to someone, to ask someone, "Hey, how can I pray for you this week? How can I be your church family? How can your church family help you out this week?" You know, we have our church Facebook group, and we have prayer request time here. So oftentimes we'll hear about things that are happening just brief moments in folks' lives. And we pray for those folks. But what would it look like for you to come up to somebody and say, "Hey, how can I pray for you this week? How can we be a better family for you this week? How can we be family together? How can we be brothers and sisters and friends together?" When Jesus calls to his mother and to this disciple that he loves from the cross, he reshapes the possibility of what a family ought to look like for Christians. A family where there are mothers of the church, and there are folks who are family to us, even though they might not look anything like us, or talk anything like us, or believe the same way, or love like us, or marry like us. It's a family where, even though we might not have the same income, or vote the same way, or have the same ideological beliefs, we can still love and care for each other, and look out for one another, and be family just the same. I guess what I want to say in conclusion is, because Jesus redefines what family is, I think that's what this day is really about, in a way to be inclusive to all of us, not just moms or mothers or whoever, but the persons who have been mothering figures to us, those that have watched out for us, and our families, and widening our tent as a Christian family. Because here in this place, even though we're all different, even though we are a family, we are kind of a motley crew of different personalities and histories and journeys. And our siblings and children are the ones who we shape in the faith, young and old. I believe it's our responsibility to take care of one another and to walk alongside one another on this journey that we have in our lives. But more than that, we are children of God. Every single one of you. Every single one of you. And God is that parent that welcomes us back time and time and time again, no matter how badly we screw up. So be family to one another. Thank you. Amen.